All right, you turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. We're going to be at the end of the chapter looking at an event that involves two women, Mary and Martha. And I have the feeling that most of us have heard or dealt with this passage in some way or another. But hopefully we can be refreshed and encouraged and maybe see some new things tonight as we examine the heart, the way that Jesus addresses this situation in Martha, her affections, and how we ought to have our affections established on things above, not things here on the earth. We read in Luke 10, verse 38, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" Now, as we look at this, I know that it evokes certain emotions in me. Now, I'm a man, and so therefore I approach this as a male reader, and these are two women. And they are, Martha's very busy about the house and doing all of the busyness. And there's Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. I have a feeling this probably touches you women a bit differently. Touches you, for you understand in many ways the heart of a woman, the desire for your home to be nice and inviting and comfortable and clean you feel those kinds of things, and men, maybe you do as well, but usually it's not so strong in us. We sometimes feel some compassion and maybe some pity for Martha. She's working hard here, right? She's busy about keeping this house nice while she has some guests. She is seeking to do her best to be a good hostess. What's wrong with that? Right? Do you have any pity for Martha tonight? Any compassion? There may be a sense of justification for Mary's plight. I'm sorry, Martha's plight. As you think about what's happening and her looking at Mary sitting there. What's Mary doing? Why isn't she busy? When I come to these kinds of passages that I've been familiar with, I've preached before, I've known and understood, I like to ask myself certain questions to kind of evoke within me a fresh perspective. Because when we come to very familiar passages, so often we come with these presuppositions and understandings of what we've already heard and understood about these passages and our own human experience and how we relate with these characters. And so often those presuppositions will dictate and guide our interpretation and understanding. So we think of this as the Gospel of Luke, and Gospel of Luke was written primarily to Theophilus, we believe a Gentile. Remember this, he he, Luke, is writing under the inspiration of the Spirit to help bring confidence to the faith of Theophilus, of confidence in Jesus Christ. We know from the book of Acts, the first chapter, that Luke is writing and has written about the things that Jesus did and the things that Jesus said. And so that being the focus there, we do well as a reader of this gospel to pay special attention to what Jesus is doing and what Jesus is saying. And even in this scenario, our minds so often can be distracted by what's happening with Mary and Martha that we miss what Jesus is doing and saying. So make sure we keep those things in mind as we look at this tonight. We see that Jesus is journeying around from various cities and villages. Why is he traveling around? Well, we know that he has come to preach the kingdom of God. He wants people to understand that the kingdom of God is near. He wants to call them to repentance, call them to the gospel. And so he's taking his band of followers with him, and they travel from city to city. Now, the exact location here is not, obviously not that important. There has been some debate as to whether this was in Bethany, where we see Mary and Martha living in the Gospel of John. But we know that from our context that Jesus has been traveling through the areas of Galilee and into Samaria. Is he in Bethany? We don't know, and I don't think that's necessarily the point here. The location is not the point. Well, then what is the point? Well, remember, context is important. And even in the gospel, a narrative, a story, the order that the Spirit puts the events that are recorded is important. It matters. What just happened? What was just shared? The parable of what? The Good Samaritan. And the parable of the Good Samaritan has drawn out the authority of Jesus' words and of the Old Testament scriptures. What does the law say? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus says, go and do this to that lawyer who was trying to trip him up. Now notice what the lawyer said after that, verse 29. He said, but he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And so we see here a lawyer, a person who is critical of the Jesus and of the ministry of Jesus Christ, doubts who he is, wants to entrap him in his words so that he can be rendered ineffective. And here we see in this dialogue with Jesus that the lawyer now seeks to justify himself. And we know that if we seek to justify ourselves, or anyone seeks to justify ourselves, we end up falling very short, don't we? We have a very limited view because we are doing it within ourselves. I want to suggest to you tonight that what we see in this situation with Mary and Martha is another glimpse of someone seeking to justify themselves. An attempt by a woman who has invited Jesus into her home to justify her own ways, her serving. And we again see how Jesus addresses this. How often do we justify in and of ourselves, seek to make ourselves appear right before God and before man, and we do so according to our own parameters. Jesus is in this village, and this woman named Martha receives him into her house. That word receive implies receiving as a guest. This is the first time in Luke's gospel, and the only time in Luke's gospel, that Martha and Mary both are mentioned, this text. So we have no preconceived ideas about who these women are. We have no idea if they have met Jesus before. If you are purely just reading the Gospel of Luke, we have not been given any preconceived ideas about these ladies. I believe that's significant, because let's remember, as these Gospels were given, as they were inspired and written, they were then given as individual books to the various churches. And in the early days of the church, not every church had all the scriptures and all the letters and all the Gospels. And so the Gospel of Luke most likely, as initially, would have been read independently. And so we have to keep that in mind as well, as the Spirit is seeking or is helping build our confidence in Jesus Christ. He's not mentioned Mary and Martha yet, nor does he after this. So is Mary and Martha, their person, who they are, of great significance in this? No. Their character, their identity is not the paramount in this event. What is? Again, we are drawn what? To what Jesus does and what he says. So, as students of the scriptures, these are ways that we can help discern and bring out for us what is the focus, what is the point. Martha's received him into her house as her guest. She has a sister called Mary. And we note that Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet. And what is she doing? She heard his word. All right, so what we see now, first of all, that Jesus is doing is Jesus has entered in to this home as a guest. He has entered in more than just a guest, but as a teacher, as a proclaimer of truth. So what is Luke bringing out here? What is Jesus doing? Jesus is teaching. Verse 40, But Martha, so in other words, that word but there causes us to make this comparison. We have the visual of Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his word. You got that picture, right? You can hear that. You can see that. You can see Jesus sitting there, and Martha knelt there at his feet. And I believe there were many others probably around listening. So there's that scene, but it says, verse 40, Martha was cumbered about much serving. So we have this person who is sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to Jesus' words, and we have this other person. In fact, this is the one who's invited Jesus into her house. This is the one who is busy, cumbered about with much serving. And she comes to Jesus. The one who's busy about all the serving comes to Jesus and says, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. What is Martha saying? Martha is seeking to justify herself. You have two different responses to Jesus' presence. In this home, you have sitting at his feet listening to his word. You have cumbered about with much serving. And this one who is cumbered about with much serving, interestingly enough, is the one who is seeking to justify herself. She is compelled to do so. Why? Why would this person who's busy about serving and in the home and taking care of her guests, why would she be so concerned that she comes to Jesus to justify herself and asks Jesus to affirm this? It is because her eyes were on people, were on the opinions of men. In her eyes, Mary looked idle and lazy. In her eyes, she looked resourceful, responsible, and what she wanted that to be recognized. Now, this is not a rebuke of serving. This is not a rebuke of being a good hostess or host. This is not a rebuke of taking care of your home. This is not a rebuke of having, when you have a guest, to serve them. It's not a rebuke of that. But what it is it's a confrontation of how we so often will seek to justify ourselves in doing so by comparing ourselves with others. Where the standards fluctuate according to the whims and opinions of both yourself and others. Remember what he said, what happened with the lawyer just a few verses earlier. The lawyer sought to justify himself according to his own standards by asking, "Who is my neighbor?" And so Jesus just laid it on all the more with the parable of the Good Samaritan, showing that those who you don't even like to associate with, they are your neighbor. The standard of God's word, of the Old Testament scriptures, of the law here, was laid out as firm and would not move. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. As Mary sits at the feet of Jesus, it demonstrated what? A sincere love. A love for God. You know, we don't understand fully the extent of her faith or belief at this point. We don't know all of those details. But we know from this context that what she is doing is the right part, the good part. Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Not only does she just seek to justify herself, but she seeks to be the authority. Yes, she is serving her guests. But in her mind, she's in control. And she is dictating, and she desires, to dictate the tempo of this visit. Bid her to come and help me. How's Jesus going to respond? We know that we see that what Jesus does is he's in this home. This is not an accident. He's there on purpose, right? And this has been recorded and preserved for us to teach us. He comes into this home and he speaks forth the word. He teaches. And obviously is captivating the heart and mind, ears of Mary. Jesus answers in verse 41 Martha's complaint and says unto her, Martha, Martha. Have you ever wondered why he repeats the name twice? I mean, it's not necessary, is it? There is no absolute dogmatic answer that I have found as to why it is repeated twice. But I do want you to see, for the example of scriptures, other people's names, other times that God has called people and he's called them and using their name twice. Listen to the list. Abraham. In Genesis chapter 22, he has been called and told to sacrifice his son Isaac on that altar, right? They go up to the top of Mount Moriah. He lays Isaac up on the altar. He draws his knife ready to slay the promised son. He is doing so out of belief, out of faith. And from heaven, before he plunges that knife, from heaven is heard, Abraham, Abraham. Twice, I believe why. First of all, get the attention. Abraham, stop. Abraham, I care about you. How about Jacob? Jacob in Genesis chapter 46, verses 1 through 4. And by the way, many of the responses, especially in the Old Testament, the responses to this double use of their name is, here am I. That's what Abraham said. Abraham, Abraham! And Abraham says, here am I. Jacob, when he is wondering whether he should go to Egypt and join with Joseph there, he is perplexed about what to do, and the Lord appears to him and says, Jacob, Jacob. And Jacob's response is, here am I. Moses in Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3 is the calling of Moses from where? The burning bush. And Moses is a shepherd out in the wilderness watching the sheep, and he sees this bush on fire, yet not being consumed. He goes over, he approaches it, and from out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And his response is, here am I. Samuel, the young boy serving with Eli in the temple. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 and following, chronicle for us how God calls for Samuel. And the little boy gets up thinking it's Eli. And he runs over to Eli and says, here am I. What do you need, Eli? Eli says, I haven't called you, go back to bed. And this happens three different times. And finally, the third time, Eli begins to get the idea and instructs the boy, this is the Lord. Speak to him. He is calling you. And so the fourth time only, the call comes forth for Samuel, and it is like this, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel's response as a young boy is, speak, for your servant hears. In the New Testament, in addition to Martha, Martha, Luke also records in chapter 22, Jesus speaking to Peter. And this is the episode immediately following Luke's recording of how Jesus deals with the discord amongst the disciples as far as who is the greatest. And as he concludes that, he turns to Simon and he says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you and that he may sift you as wheat. He is alerting Simon of Satan's desire to have him. One other one I want to bring to your attention that I think is significant is in Acts chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9, a man who is a persecutor of the church is traveling to Damascus to put Christians into prison. A persecutor of Christians. And as he is riding on a horse on the road to Damascus, a bright light shines and he is off his horse, and from the heavens he hears these words, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Saul's response is, who art thou, Lord? I find it interesting, these names being repeated, and how they are God calling forth from these people service and devotion to him and him alone. God desiring their full attention and for them to understand, yes, he wants them to serve him, but also he will care for them. And so Martha, Martha, the repetition I believe is important and significant. As it brings forth, this is a rebuke from Jesus, but it is within the context of, listen, I want you to understand this because I care about you. And we know from John's gospel that we see Mary and Martha again. And Mary and Martha, their brother Lazarus dies, and Jesus comes and he raises Lazarus from the dead. And again, Jesus shows care for Martha and for Mary, but he does not hesitate to confront their unbelief and to show them and tell them the truth. And hence it is also here. She's trying to justify herself, and Jesus will not let this go. And for us as readers of this gospel, it is important for us as well that we make sure justifying ourselves before God is not a part of our repertoire of activity, of our Christian walk. It is God who justifies. And so we, by faith, turn to him. Martha, Martha, Jesus says. So we've talked about what Jesus did. He came, he visited, and he taught. What now we see what he says. I should also note, and I overlooked this, and I want you to understand, as Jesus comes into the home, he teaches. You know what he also does? He listens. Did you catch that? He listened to Martha. I think that's important. That's exciting to me. It's exciting to me because here he is, he's teaching. And Martha comes to him and Jesus listens. And he understands and he can tell her heart, I'm sure, but yet he listens. Not only that, he addresses her concern. And this is where we see divine wisdom. He addresses her concern. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. He identifies for us Martha's misappropriated affections. He helps her understand where her affections lie. You are careful and troubled about many things. Your life and your actions right now demonstrate this. There are many things that you are concerned and paying attention to. You're anxious about them. You're giving them thought. And they are troubling you. And so in identifying these misappropriated affections, he then sets up this conversation for instruction. He sets Martha up to receive his wisdom. Martha, I understand you are concerned and troubled about many things. This is clear. And then he says, but one thing is needful. When someone says one thing, that's a cue for us to realize this is sacred. This is set apart. This is on a pedestal, and it will not share that pedestal with anything else. Right? When we say this one thing, it is limiting it down to what? One thing. And so therefore, what Jesus is doing is taking a woman who is busy about many things and seeking to justify herself because she is overwhelmed by these many things and concerned about her sister. And Jesus, in his divine wisdom, gives the instruction that, listen, one thing is needful. And dear ones, as we wrestle with busyness and many things in life, this should be freeing for us. One thing is needful. And he says, and Mary hath chosen that good part. I don't know about you, but as I initially read that, I'm like, Jesus, you don't have to compare the two. Isn't that just going to provide more angst? But Mary's doing the great thing. Well, we understand from Jesus' word that there are two options, that there are two parts here. Martha, you're busy about much serving. Mary is sitting at my feet, hearing my word. One of these is the good part. Mary has chosen that good part. Why? And I love how Jesus demonstrates his care and compassion by not just confronting, not just by identifying her misappropriated affections, Not just by giving instruction, but by explaining why. Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. And so the clincher is this. Who is demonstrating authority and power in this home? Mary has sought to justify herself, much like the lawyer. When confronted with his own limitations, Martha, when confronted with her own limitations and comparing with Mary, they seek to justify themselves. They seek to instruct Jesus, but Jesus, being the Lord, in his kind and compassionate way, confronts, identifies, instructs, and he explains why. What does this mean, which shall not be taken away from her? Martha chose serving. Mary chose Jesus' words. Martha's serving will be over as soon as Jesus leaves her home. The floor she swept and the table she cleaned, the food she prepared will all someday vanish, be gone, or be dirty again in just a few hours. In matters of eternity, they do not carry that kind of value lasting forever. But what Mary is doing in sitting at the feet of Jesus is she is receiving, hearing his word. And Luke, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, wants us to understand this priority, this significance. So, as we live our lives today, we live as a church. The church is not yet on the earth during this time, during the times of Jesus. Now, Luke, of course, is writing to the church, the early church. One of the gifts of the Spirit is, get this, serving. The ministry of helps. And so we know and understand that serving and the ministry of helps, the ministry of mercy, caring for others, meeting the needs of the poor, all of these things are important in the eyes and the sight of God, but we have to get the order right. So many people will do the serving to merit God's good graces. But yet we learn from the epistles in the New Testament that that is backwards. But rather, we are to entrust ourselves to the Spirit and walk in His ways, and from that flow, a heart of serving. Notice the priority again comes back to the Word of God. The priority of faith in the Lord to dictate how we live, rather than our own means to justify ourselves. So what dictates your life and your actions? Are you doing what you're doing because you want to justify yourself before God? Or perhaps before men? Or are you doing what you're doing because it is truly a walk in the Spirit, a walk with the Spirit, by faith, and it's an outflow of that walk with God? It's important that we get that right. And I believe this is one of the reasons why God includes this in this gospel for the Gentile church and for all of us, really, Jew or Gentile. We can benefit from this truth. one thing is needful. That's one thing. One. And Mary has chosen that good part. Boy, I tell you, as a reader of the Gospel of Luke, and I read over this, boy, it emphasizes how important Jesus' word is and his authority. But even broader than that, how important the word of God is. It's all God's word. The Old Testament, even though Jesus may not be red letters, it's God's word. The epistles, it's God's word. And so we understand and we realize its authority. And we realize that it teaches us, let's let God justify. Let's not try to justify ourselves. Lord, thank you for the blessing of your word and just enjoying it again tonight. I thank you, Lord, for the gentle ways that you confront us. But I thank you that for your desire to teach us and to help us get it right. Hence, we know that your word is profitable unto us. And it is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Thank you, Lord. And I pray that you would encourage your people as they go from this place. May we all remember we are blessed richly as people of faith. In Jesus' name, amen.